Today I'd like to talk about the reward of the righteous. We're going to be hearing a scripture here in a minute and looking at it together. It's from 2 Corinthians 6, and it's just three verses. But in these verses, the Apostle Paul is quoting the prophet Ezekiel. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah, and he's quoting the prophet Hosea, all in these three verses. So these three verses are packed with both apostolic and prophetic unction for us. Let's stand together in honor for all of these four writers of the Word of God. From 2 Corinthians 6, let's stand together and let's read these spectacular three verses. It says in 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter, starting with verse 16, "For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God, the Almighty." You may be seated within God's wonderful word. Now this morning, I'd like to go through, if we can, seven different aspects of the reward of the righteous. Now, if you're looking to be rich, if you're looking to be famous, if you're even looking only to be healthy, you should look to the God of this world and not the God we serve. Not that he doesn't care, not that he doesn't want to bless you, not that he doesn't want you to be healthy, not that he doesn't want you to be known in his kingdom, but it's very different than the kingdom of this age. So, as we go through the rewards, be looking for the right thing as we talk about them, okay? Does that sound reasonable as we open up and you understand what we're saying in this? The first one is this one. We are the temple of the living God. Now, that may mean nothing to the world, and it doesn't. That means nothing to the average person to be the temple of the living God. But to you, it means everything. What an honor. What a blessing for God's Spirit, capital S, to dwell within the believer. That is a fantastic reward. But of course, the question quickly comes, are you a true believer? If you're in a garage, that doesn't make you a car. If you're in the church, that doesn't make you a Christian. Are you following some of this? It is a personal, deep, ongoing, wonderful relationship with all our struggles. I get it. With all our struggles that we have with the Lord. That we are the temple of the living God. It is the greatest reward to experience being the dwelling place of the living God. Now, my wife and I have experienced quite a bit of life. We've been told by a number of people, boy, you've lived some life. And we have, not as much as my grandfather or grandmother or some of these other great Christians, but we have experienced a significant amount. Let me tell you about a couple of places that are worship places that the world recognizes. Now, we don't. But I cannot tell you the emptiness of Chichen Itza. Chichen Itza, where we've been to, is one of the seven wonders of the world. It's in Mexico. You got to go through. We did hours out through the jungle by bus. There was a little dirt road, and we finally got out there. I think they've done more paving of it now. But in Chichen Itza, they have these step pyramids, you know, very much like from a distance as you'd see the great pyramids of Giza in Egypt. But nevertheless, outside of the great temple where you had to walk up in the form of a snake all the way up, the serpentine movement that they used to do, there's an altar. And on this altar is where they would dress up the children in these heavy gold pieces and then throw them into the pond, this deep cavern lake, and sacrifice them. Now, this was holy to them, but I have never felt, well, I can't say never, because I've felt a lot of empty places, but this was one of them. The emptiness. I wasn't even allowed by the Spirit to even get up onto the platform where they had done this. The Spirit says, no, you may not touch it, and so I didn't. But the emptiness that was there. When we calmly say that we're the temple of the living God, that is huge. Because it's not empty. Are you feeling empty? You don't know the Lord if you're feeling empty. I'm not saying to go through difficult times or changes in your life, but I'm saying you know that you're born again, if you're born again, if you're born again, if you're born again. Deep within your heart, okay, I've go through all my troubles and issues and problems, but I know I'm born again. I can feel God's Spirit. I know He dwells within me, even though I may resist Him at times. We were in Indonesia and went to the largest Buddhist temple on earth, Borobudur. And we did walk onto this one, this huge monument. And you go round and round, and there are all these Buddhas all the way around it. And the guide was telling us all the wonders of how much it took to build this thing and how it was the center of Buddhist worship until the volcano down the street erupted and buried the whole thing. Details, details. And it was stayed buried for about 400 years. Details, details. But anyway, empty. I've got one more. And you're not going to like this one. A lot of Christians are not going to like this one. But I'll tell you another extremely empty place. And you wouldn't think so. But I'm going to say it. The Wailing Wall, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, I went up to it, put my hands on it, put in a little prayer like they all do, and oh, the coldness. Why? Because it's the blood of Jesus, it's Christ Jesus alone that brings us into the place of being the temple of the living God. Not Judaism, not Buddhism, not Mayanism, not Islam. I can go on and on. We walk around, you and I, where there is life in us. Do you know there's life in you? So when I talk to you or you talk to me, if we're not joking around and being light, there is power and there's glory and there's wonder. Why? Because of you? Because of me? No. Because of Him. It's a great reward we have to be the temple of the living God. Second, He says He will dwell in them and walk among them. No other God walks with their worshipers but our Lord. He walks with you. He walks with me. He walks with you. In other words, He's going to direct you. He's going to lead you. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to tell you no. Oh, do you know that He disciplines every son and daughter whom He receives? So to be told no is actually a blessing. No, you cannot mourn anymore for Him. You hear me, right? No, you cannot be pulled down by that darkness. You hear me, right? Try to listen to what I'm saying. Because when God walks with you, he's going to walk you away from sadness, walk you away from depression, walk you away from despair, walk you away from trouble. Not that you won't be hit with things, but as you follow the Lord and he walks with you and he talks with you, oh, it's a reward that the world knows nothing about, but you do. Third, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the ultimate identification. For God to be my God, the Lord Jesus Christ is my God. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus is my God. Let's say it. The Lord Jesus is my God. Come on, we can do this again. Let's stand up and say this. We're going to say this. The Lord Jesus is my God. That's a reward to be able to say such a thing. And he back to you. You will be my people. You may be seated. Separate. This is the fourth treasure, reward, blessing, wonder that God promises his people. To be separate from the world. Now, rapture's going to happen soon. We don't know when. Maybe another 100 years, maybe another 100 minutes. Rapture's going to happen soon. Translation of the church. And then the separation will be complete as the Spirit is taken from the earth. And man can now do whatever he wants to each other. Awful, awful time coming soon. But right now, we can have the type of being separated from the world. Oh, to be separate. Very, very clear when he says, come out from their midst and be separate. This means we have the opportunity and the blessing and the reward to be separate from sin. Separate from the horror of sin. Separate from Satan. Separate from his demonic activity. Separate. If you've ever been attacked spiritually, where there's darkness, you can almost feel it, right? You want to be separated from that, and God has called you to be separate from it, not to get into it, not to get into the sadness and to live in the sadness and to be down in it, but to separate yourself in Christ from it and walk free and whole and rich with that reward. Hell is not yours, but it's theirs. It's their reward, and we'll get into that in a minute. Number five, do not touch what is unclean. We're actually commanded to stay away from anger. You're commanded to stay away from depression, from pride, from greed. Don't touch it. Don't you dare touch pornography. Don't you dare touch drugs or to pilfer or sorcery or horoscopes. I can go on and on with this stuff, right? Demonic thought. Boy, let's turn to Deuteronomy just for interest. Deuteronomy, the two words. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the two words. Let's go to chapter 18. Verse 10 is very clear. Deuteronomy, this is the beginning of the Bible, part of the Pentateuch, first five books of Moses. Let's do Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, so much for abortion, or one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. I'm in Deuteronomy 18, now I'm in verse 11. One who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. What a powerful, powerful scripture. To not consult evil. You know, we need to be cautious what goes into these things, our eyes. What goes into these things, our ears. They used to put the blood on the lobes of their ears. The priest did before he would go into the temple. What we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're putting into the, we started with this, the temple of the living God. This goes for movies, this goes for literature, this goes for the company you keep. You go, wait a minute, I got a lot of friends down at the bar I really enjoy being with, but we need to be careful. They were not doing that. Careful what we're putting into our hearts and minds. Look, we want to have our spirits clean to speak, to be able to be a witness. So we're not just throwing any ugly thing into our hearts. And I'm not saying you never watch a movie that doesn't have some dark stuff in it, that as long as you're understanding what you're trying to do, you're looking for light, you're looking for understanding. I'm not trying to say you can't watch any this category of movie. I'm just saying you don't want to put filth in to put filth in. Number six, I will be a father to you. Oh, to have the Lord be our Father. Our Heavenly Father. Gotta go to Isaiah. Familiar scripture. Let's read it again. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Oh, the great prophet, Isaiah. For a child will be born to us. And by the way, this should not be only read at Christmas time. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And here it comes, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The protection of the Father, the covering of the Father, the identity of the Father, the leading of the Father. Now, maybe you've had a bad father. That isn't really the issue here really at all. The issue is that he, the Lord, is a good father, perfect father, loving, caring, wonderful father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Say it with me. Hallowed be thy name. Absolutely. Hallowed be the name of our Father. Seventh one and last. It says, you shall be sons and daughters to me. Sons. Let's start there for a moment. Sons carry the responsibility of the father's household. Now, maybe your father's passed away and now you're the son. Or maybe you never knew your father and you're now caring for your wife and family. But the sons carry the responsibility to protect the family, to carry the heritage, to be the power, the vitality, and strength for the whole house. I can't tell you what our son means to us with his power and strength of what he means to his mom and me, my wife and I. What a wonderful thing to have a son that carries the heritage, that carries your heart, that carries. If you're a son, any sons in this room? Wow, what a heritage you carry. Let me speak briefly to the daughters. But let me just briefly say here, you don't have to get your identity from feminism, from the world's concept of a successful woman. You get it rather from being his daughter and his beauty and his spectacular calling in God. Any daughters in this room? Oh, daughters, daughters, daughters. Daughters carry the beauty, the exquisite wonder of God. The Word is packed with example of spectacular womanhood. It's full. The daughters of renown, the glory they are. I probably would be amiss on this important day in God. You say, what's so important about this particular day? Well, we just finished experiencing the great solar eclipse, and yes, I did have comments about the great eclipse. And I did clearly, and I will this morning again clearly say, it's a warning not just to the United States, but especially to the United States, but also to the world, that God is moving. 5 days after the eclipse, Iran attacked Israel. That is no light thing in God's eyes. 5 days. So it does predict warning. The Laodicean church is the curse of this time in history. Revelation 3. Turn with me if you like. If not, I'll just read it for you. Revelation 3 talks about the Laodicean stage, not age, but stage of the church. Revelation 3, verse 14, into the angel. Revelation 3, 14, into the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, capital W. The beginning, capital B, of the creation of God says this, I know your deeds. They are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. But so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I know I talk about this some, but our son David and I put out American Sodom. It is now gone over 1.6 million views. That is significant. If you put that in perspective of the number of adults in this nation are 235 million, that means one out of every 160 adults has seen these videos on American Sodom. We're looking to change, and we are. The culture's conversation, if you put it together with the final warning, which we just did, which has 1.5 million views, this means that one out of every 80 adults in America have seen this. Now, that is huge. You go into a crowd, you see a number of people, you know that one out of every 80 of them have viewed one of these videos warning them to flee. But it's not just warning them. It's bringing accountability to the culture. You say, well, if they didn't know, then they wouldn't receive so much problems. Well, I don't know if I really agree with that. You don't just leave the children in the turnpike to play. They're having a lot of fun out there. They're playing dolls and ball and everything in the middle of the turnpike. It's only 8 lanes with semis going every direction. You just leave them out there and don't even bother saying, careful! So what is loving? The church, the Laodicean church, has loved them into hell. And not all, but some of the comments that we get from these things is, you don't know anything about Christianity. You're just a beginner. You don't understand that Christianity is all love. So leave them in the highway, right? Don't warn them. There's a hell to shun. Don't say anything. You might make somebody uncomfortable. Now, many Christians, probably 10% or 12%, have at least said amen. Okay. Amen. That's all. I mean, it's kind of passively saying, okay, I'm very fearful. I'm very careful. I don't have any disapproval, so I'll just from a distance say amen, and you guys be out there. A few are saying this is a fearful thing these men are saying, and this needs to be heeded. Those who preach the genuine gospel are few. I'm not saying we're the only ones, but they're few. I recently saw a clip of a Broadway play. Wouldn't you know it, it was called Tree of Life, so I thought, well, you know, this would be an interesting clip to watch. So, Broadway play of Tree of Life. I went on, I watched about, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes of it. There were four couples on the stage. They had this huge tree for the Tree of Life and all these leaves out there. It was really pretty, and they had four couples. One couple was a black guy with a white girl. That was one of the couples. One of the couples was a man and a woman. One of the couples was two women all over each other, and one couple was two men all fondling each other. And this is what the culture is saying is acceptable, that you could hear the cheers from the audience. Just really nice music, really great voices, tremendous production, blasphemy. Now, it's easy for us to point the finger, but I'm here to say that the church is responsible, at least in part, large part, at least in part, for them having the freedom for everybody to cheer and everybody to say, this is good, because it's not. The church has remained, for the most part, silent. Pastor down the road wants to meet with me tomorrow. This is a guy that says, well, you can't really talk about hell. You know, you got to be careful. You don't want to offend anybody. Leave the children in the turnpike for the semis to try to buzz around them is how I hear that. The curse of lukewarmness. The curse of Abraham's promise. What's he talking about now? Well, Genesis 12. Genesis 12 says this. Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you, I'm in Genesis 12, 2 now, and I'll make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. So you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it does matter When Iran sends hundreds, if not thousands, of drones towards Israel, missiles, all this stuff. And then our president tells Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, what he can do to protect himself and his country. We're going to, how many nations are allowed to dictate who we can protect ourselves from and what we can do? We would be incredulous. You have no right to tell us. We'll do whatever we feel. But Israel has to submit to the United States and to Biden's policy that they can't clean up Hamas in Gaza. They can't do much, if anything, about Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. They certainly cannot retaliate against Iran with all their nuclear fusions that are building and building and building. Now, what's going to happen this week? I don't know. But I know who knows. Do you know him? The Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, why do you say, yes, you know him? Because you have been rewarded, believer. You've been rewarded as the temple of the living God. You've been rewarded as having him walk with you and saying yes and saying no. You've been rewarded by being able to call him our God. Jesus Christ is my God. Come on, we remember this phrase, right? Jesus Christ is my God. Absolutely. You've been rewarded by being separate and called to separateness, away from sin, away from darkness, away from evil, away from Lucifer. You've been called to cleanness with a walk that's high and beautiful and glorious. You've been called with the reward of God to say, Father. Come on. Father. Oh, what a reward to be called sons and daughters. God keep you and bless you with the reward of the righteous. Amen.